We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7 with supplies and solutions for every industry and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. It is round two, pick 43, and you know what that means. The Chicago Bears are officially on the clock, and in just a matter of minutes, we're going to know who is going to become the next member of our beloved Bears. Of course, the Bears could trade down from this. I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and here with me on this live reaction episode is my co-host, Nicholas Moriano. Nick, it feels like it's taken an eternity to get to this point, but here we are. The Bears should be making a selection here soon. How are you feeling? I got some butterflies.
Yeah, I'm excited, Will. This is what we've been waiting for. Like you said, it has felt like an eternity since something relevant's been happening with the Bears, but we're about to find out who's going to be the newest member, like you just said.
Do you have any players that are still on your short list? I know the board has fallen a little differently than most expected, which I guess is the case of every single draft, but I believe both of our mock projections are still in play. But are you going to change up? Do you still want to go with your mock projection, or is there anyone else on your short list that you wouldn't mind seeing taken right now?
You know what? I still want to go with what I had mocked to the Bears with KJ Hamler. I think that's just an explosive threat on the outside, inside the slot, that the Bears could really utilize right now in that offense. If they want to go offensive lineman with like a Lloyd Cushenberry, who's also still available, I wouldn't be opposed to that as well. But there are so many good players still available. What about you?
Oh, gosh, like you just said, so many players available. I mean, I had Jalen Johnson in my mock draft. I still think he can still fall to the Bears later on in this draft, and they can still go ahead and get some other guys. There's still, if you're looking at the offensive line, you know, Joshua Jones, of course, is a name that's sticking out. If they even want to go edge, which I know is not a position of need, but we're just chatting here in the green room and can't have too many guys that are good at rushing the quarterback. Still some safeties, which both you and I agreed on our previous mock, may not be the best need right here at 43, but some of these safeties have really kind of fell through. So as we're waiting, Nick, for any of these to go through, I'm curious, is there any position or any player right now that you would call a mistake to draft? Would that be tight end in your mind?
Yeah, we were just talking actually in the green room too. If like the Bears were to go maybe 43, and Cole Kmet's been a guy that's been projected to go to the Bears, but that's a guy like right now, I'm just not seeing the draft value in that pick at this moment. So I think if you see Cole Kmet in the next few minutes here, I think a lot of fans are going to be angry with the pick. He might be end up being a good player, but I just feel like it's a stretch for Cole Kmet at this point.
Yeah. It could be definitely. Well, I would definitely call that a stretch. So still waiting. We're on a commercial break. So the Jaguars pick is in. I don't know how much I even want to dance around Twitter right now because you never know. It could be spoiled, but also at least I would know and we can start talking about whoever this player may be. Now, I know you talked about safety not being, you know, someone who you would draft right now, but if they would go safety, would you look at someone like a Winfield or would you still look at a Jeremy Chinn? Really curious your thoughts on here because I know you've been high on Chinn, but I don't think you would take him here at 43.
So I think the Bears would just with the physical upside that he has. We know Ryan Pace loves those physical specimens, right? But yeah, for me, I think you can – obviously you can get a good safety. You really can. You can tag him alongside Eddie Jackson. I just think you can get a quality starter, a quality safety later in the draft, and you can use this to get something that is more of a need but also fits where you're selecting at. Antoine Winfield and Jeremy Chinn are great safeties. Don't get me wrong. And they're both completely different in terms of size and what they can do. But I just personally wouldn't go safety. I don't even expect the Bears to draft safety in the second round, to be completely honest. But that's just my thoughts on the whole safety situation there.
Now, what about quarterback? There's a lot of people who would say take Jalen Hurts, and there's equally as many people to say do not take Jalen Hurts right now.
Finally, a bed that senses snoring and automatically responds. Meet the Ergo Smart Base from Tempur-Pedic, our first system that detects snoring, then automatically adjusts by raising the bed. Get your best sleep all night, every night. For a limited time, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets and experience the deep, undisturbed sleep of Tempur-Pedic. Get full offer details at Tempur-Pedic.com.
Now, personally, I think it would be a mistake to go quarterback right now, at least in my mind. I don't think Hurts is your guy based off of every conversation that you and I have had since the 2019 season has ended, but I'm just curious your thought. Is 43... how the board's looking right now, it has to, you can't go quarterback, right?
I don't think the Bears are going to go quarterback, but then again, it's Ryan Pace. He could like one of the Jalen Hurts or Jake Fromm, somebody like that at this 43, but I don't think they're going to do it right here. And well, I guess we'll see, but I'm not the biggest fan of Jalen Hurts. I think he could be a good quarterback. I just really focus on Jake Fromm and what he can do for this offense, but not at 43.
All right, well, I do want to let you know here, Nick, that according to the Chicago Bears on Twitter, the pick is in. So we are not trading back from 43. We are sticking put, and we are going to be making a selection. And as we wait for this to kind of unfold, did you see it?
Yes, and it's the guy that we were just talking about at 43 where we didn't want to see him at.
No.
The Bears... yes, the Bears are going to take Cole Kmet from Notre Dame to be that 43rd pick. You're biting your finger there, Will.
I am. I'm trying to bite my tongue. I mean, this seems like a big mistake. I understand that tight end is a need, and you arguably got yourself, well, you better have gotten yourself the top tight end in this class because there hasn't been a single tight end selected until this point. But with Kmet, obviously he has some limitations to his game as well. I know the Bears have been tied to him throughout this offseason. I sat there listening to his press conference as well throughout the combine. And at that point, I was kind of all gung-ho. But Cole Kmet is going to be a Chicago Bear. Again, big need for the team. But I don't know. There seemed like there's a lot more value at some other positions right now. And you could have found Kmet perhaps... at 50, but curious your thoughts here, Nick, as we kick this off. Cole Kmet, a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, so with Cole Kmet, he was one of the very first tight ends I started watching film on, and it's not that he he wasn't a good tight end. That's not what I want to say. It's just he didn't have a lot of explosive plays. I think it's a very safe pick for Ryan Pace because he probably will be a consistent player for this offense. Someone who is not just a receiving threat, but he can be a blocking tight end, which the Bears really don't have at this point. You can tag him alongside Jimmy Graham, who's more the passing threat. I just thought at 43, with the guys that were on the board, where you can get explosive playmakers down the field with some of the wide receivers still available, you could have gone that route instead of taking a Cole Kmet, who a lot of people were projecting, this is going to be the Bears pick, this is going to be the Bears pick, but we all know tight ends don't usually contribute in their first year of the offense. We're looking for, if you're looking at staying at 43, which the Bears just did, you want a contributor, someone that's going to make big plays. Not saying that Kmet won't, but it's just, throughout history, it's just tight ends usually haven't gone that route, but Kmet is the pick. It's an interesting one. It's one that right now I'm not that big of a fan because I thought there were some other tight ends that were worthy to take down in the draft, but Ryan Pace, this is the first move he makes, second round, staying at 43, taking Cole Kmet, a guy that's pretty local, obviously being at Notre Dame, but like my player comp for this guy was a Kyle Rudolph, which is a good player, right? Good tight end, but he's not like a Travis Kelce or George, like those explosive playmaking tight ends. So, yeah, I not the biggest fan of this pick, Will. Just not the biggest fan.
No, same here. I'm trying to find some silver lining here. Again, as I've already said, this has to be A's one of their top graded players right now to make this pick. But on top of that, and it has to be their top tight end, which is great. And I know they have Jimmy Graham and Press. Those two would be a really interesting duo. But this is a long-term pick, and it could be a long-term answer at the position. But I don't know how much it helps you right now for the 2020 season, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously we all know tight end's a huge component to Matt Nagy's offense. If he had a capable tight end, he'd use him more often. But I just thought like maybe a Bryson Hopkins just has a little bit more upside to where you can get more out of him maybe later on in the season as opposed to a Cole Kmet, who I think is just more polished at this point. I don't know. I think they just kind of went with him because, one, it's a safe pick, local guy. He's always wanted to play in the Bears. That's all. It's been, you know, public knowledge at this point now that he's always wanted to play for the Bears. But like I said, I just thought there was better value, better athletes, bigger contributors than a Cole Kmet. Hopefully, you know, proves us all wrong. He just goes out and balls out for the Bears this season. But it's a tight end that people were talking about so much that you just didn't want to see it happen.
And it's really interesting, too, because how much can you even trust, you know, Ryan Pace to accurately evaluate and grade tight ends? Because he's missed on so many throughout his tenure here. You're looking at Trey Burton. You have, Deion Sims. I don't have a lot of comfort level when it comes to Ryan Pace and tight ends. And I think a lot of people feel that way with Ryan Pace and quarterbacks. But I think you can also extend that here to the tight end position in terms of Cole Kmet. Well, at least moving here, at least initially. Hey, at least it's going to be official here on my TV, Bears selection. I'm looking at some Bears fans. Apparently, we have one square that's not filled, which I know we're making fun of the Lions yesterday, so just want to throw that one out there. So, oh, it's filled now. Never mind. It's just a little bit late to the Zoom party there on this live draft. So, as we're kind of sitting here, of course, I'm just curious to your thoughts here, Nick, in terms of like the short-term and long-term expectations for a Cole Kmet, at least in your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're thinking long-term, especially the second-round pick, they're hoping this guy can be a solidified starter, someone that can actually contribute and be available for years down the road, what they were probably anticipating for Adam Shaheen to be. And then in terms of short term, if you want immediate impact now, if this is such a win now season, right, you're hoping that you can actually get the most out of a Cole Kmet, especially over the middle of the field where I think he could definitely do some good things. But that's kind of the short term. Long term, I think the biggest thing for Cole Kmet, because all the tight ends they've gotten, it's just going to be availability. Can you stay healthy? And he hasn't had injury issues in the past. So that's going to be the thing. Just be available for Matt Nagy. He will put you in the right positions. But now what? I think now there's officially 10 tight ends on the roster, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a lot of guys on there. And you're hoping that Kmet, Graham, and maybe one of the other lower-end guys can contribute to be be a good tight end room, but it's just, I don't know. It's just a lackluster pick for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's only had about 600 yards receiving, averaging about 11 yards per catch, only six touchdowns. Like you said, not a ton of just general production out of the tight end, but he is someone who's going to be more of that inline guy. So my one question for you here, Nick, is, which I hope the answer is, it's always been this case, but is the writing on the wall for an Adam Shaheen here?
You would have to think so, right? I mean, if you're going to try to get Komet implemented to this offense, you're going to need Shaheen out, if he's even available come start of the season, right? Because he always somehow gets an injury that'll keep him out. But I would think this move, cutting Trey Burton and also bringing in Jimmy Graham, signals the end for an Adam Shaheen, which will go down as just another bust for Ryan Pace, which he's been pretty accustomed to drafting, unfortunately. But I'm just reading Dane Brugler's, just his draft profile on Cole Kmet. And obviously we were talking about maybe he's a guy that can be obviously a receiving tight end, but also blocking. One of the weaknesses, very first line, Will, still an entry-level blocker from a consistency standpoint. Upright in his pass sets and late with his punch. Must improve his setup quickness and blocking angles to survive in pass pro. So obviously we Komet needs to improve on those things, because we're kind of drafting him to be that Y tight end that the Bears, it's a vacant position right now, because Jimmy Graham is not a Y. He is definitely a U tight end, a receiving guy. He has a body frame for it, but he can't block. So you're hoping Cole Komet can be, Matt Nagy's probably looking at Cole Komet, you got to be my Travis Kelce. But I just don't think he has that in him. To be completely honest, I know he hasn't taken a snap or done anything, but Travis Kelce is a very high standard, but I'm thinking that's what Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace are kind of envisioning Cole Kmet to be for this offense. Not seeing it at this point, just what he kind of brings to the table, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy, right? He's really big for a tight end, and he's a straight line kind of guy, and he's someone that he's not going to be a deep threat at tight end. He's someone that still needs to kind of continue to refine and work his game. I know he's very young, and he's someone who can continue to be polished. It's just, I think he's, like you said, I think you mentioned he's a safe pick. The ceiling may not be overly high, but the floor may not be too low for you here. I think he's less of a risk than another second round tight end on this roster in an Adam Shaheen that we've seen in the past, but he's not going to turn in this league into like a Travis Kelce type. So I'm curious.
Finally, a bed that senses snoring and automatically responds. Meet the Ergo Smart Base from Tempur-Pedic, our first system that detects snoring, then automatically adjusts by raising the bed. Get your best sleep all night, every night. For a limited time, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets and experience the deep, undisturbed sleep of Tempur-Pedic. Get full offer details at Tempur-Pedic.com.
So your thoughts here. Oh, go ahead. Did you have something you want to say?
Yeah, just kind of looking at the production that Cole Kmet has had, too, just over the years. It was only the 2019 season, Will, where he actually produced significant numbers. So Ryan Pace, he's done this in the past where it's kind of going one season wonders, right? Mitch Trubisky falls into that category. Now you have a Cole Kmet right here, because you look at 2018, 15 receptions, 162 yards, no touchdowns. 2017, two receptions, 14 yards. Then he has a big 2019 season, and you have the 43 receptions, 515 yards, and six touchdowns. But obviously you draft these guys with the hope of what can they become, what can they still develop into. But it's one season of actual good production. That's the thing. I would really have loved to see with this pick someone that was a proven, consistent, just producer in college. You can't say that about Cole Kmet. He did it one season. One season he had, and he was able to put up some good numbers, but all the other years, he just wasn't a big impact for the Irish's offense. So, again, Ryan Pace, he's been prone to doing that, and I just would have rather him gone the other way. Even though we say it's a safe pick, it is just a 1 year that he's actually produced.
And the interesting part about all of this, too, is he doesn't really fit the Ryan Pace profile, at least usually players and athletes that he would draft in this stage, you know, inside of the draft. He usually goes for more athletic guys, and Kmet is a very solid athlete, of course. I mean, he's playing in the NFL, for God's sake, but he's not a freakish athlete at the position. He's just a sturdy overall player instead of someone that does have all those intangibles that maybe you covet a little bit more in today's NFL and today's NFL's offenses. But Nick, you mentioned 10 players or 10 tight ends on this roster, but looking at year one for Cole Kmet, is he already the tight end two in your mind, looking at this roster, or is he somewhere lower that he needs to work himself up?
I think it would be too soon to call him tight end two. I know he has potential, right? But Jesper Horsted's a guy that's on this depth chart, on this roster, that I think it's still, he's got the receiving background. He really does. That's what he, I forget the school, I'm blanking on the school that Jesper was at, but he was a receiver there. And you could see that in his game when the limited opportunities that he had. But I would think it's going to be a little bit of a battle there to see if Jesper Horsted, and obviously Ben Broniker's still on the roster as well. He had some concussion issues that he was going through, but we have to see him kind of prove himself, right? So it's going to be Jesper Horsted, Ben Broniker, and then Cole Kmet. And I think J.P. Holtz right now at this point, I wonder if the Bears are just kind of looking at him as the H-back kind of fullback role, where I think they should definitely implement more into this offense. But I wouldn't say go ahead, you know, put him as a number two automatically just because of his draft stock. We all saw what Adam Shaheen was, and it takes time to get acclimated to this game for sure.
I would say if we go through training camp preseason and we get to week one and he's not the tight end two or the inline tight end on this offense, I'll be heavily disappointed, because you're drafting him this high and you're talking about, you know, oh, you have J.P. Holtz and you have Broniker and you have it. Those are all undrafted players. And I know they have a little bit more experience in this league, but this is a second round talent and also the best tight end in the 2020 draft class. So if he doesn't find a way to earn himself that spot as the inline guy, that wide tight end in his roster, I'm going to be a little disappointed in this pick and overall in Cole Kmet, at least out of the jump. And of course, we know historically rookie tight ends don't have a large volume of production. But just looking at the other guys and the lack of experience and really the overall lack of talent there, despite the volume of players, he better find a way to, you know, earn that. And I don't think the Bears should give it to him. Like you said, he needs to find his way and work through. But if he doesn't, I think that would be an immediate, I wouldn't call it a red flag, but not a yellow. We'll call it like an orange flag. So somewhere in the middle in terms of like the worrisome label. Anything, I know we've been ripping on this one a little bit, but is there anything about Cole Kmet that at least gets you excited about this pick?
You know, I think, look, he definitely filled a need for this Bears offense. The Bears needed a consistent guy at the tight end position that can eventually, you know, be someone that you can rely over the middle. Use it, like you said, Will, he has a big body, big frame, and he moves pretty well for a big guy. So you could see him be that mismatch against safeties, be that safety blanket for Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky. So that's the upside of this pick. I think he'll be good for the Bears. I do. I just, like I said, I just thought there were other players that they could have gotten in that position. Just to go back to your point, though, there, Will, like, I wonder, obviously, with everything that's going on, with, you know, how COVID-19 is impacting playing time and practice time, practice reps, it's probably going to take a little bit longer for a rookie, obviously one of these rookies, to come in and actually get, you know, really acclimated to this NFL game. So like, if I don't see him as the number two on the depth chart when the Bears are, every time they post it, I'm not going to be losing my mind over it, just because I know what they're kind of going through. They're not practicing with the team, seeing what the coaches really want from them on the field. They're doing all the virtual stuff, but it's way different doing it in person. But you would hope somebody at 43, somebody that they obviously liked, can work their way up and beat out the current guys they got. You have 10 tight ends because you really don't trust any one of them. Now you're hoping at least you can trust two with Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet.
If you can't find a 20% success rate here, again, larger problems here in Chicago for the Bears. I think you hit on this too when you're looking at some opportunities for Cole Kmet, like as in what he needs to work on, and that is the blocking. He is, of course, and I think that it really is almost any rookie tight end, you can call this a pain point and an item that they need to work on. But I was actually combing through my notes here from the combine, and he mentioned that coaches said that the biggest knock on him has been the blocking. He's aware of that, and he's doing what he can and does intend to continue to improve that facet of the game. But on top of that, too, he was a very confident guy. I remember jotting that down in my notes about his talent. He believes he can do everything. And also, like, he can line up in other areas of this offense. And I do remember you said it. He wanted to be a Chicago Bear, and he said how much fun it would be to play in Chicago as well, and that his favorite team was the Bears growing up. So honestly, we say this, you know, we're a little upset about the pick, but look at it from Cole Komet's shoes and his standpoint. He grew up a Bears fan, and he now got drafted by the Chicago Bears, and I was a kid with those aspirations. You know, look at me. I was a kid with those aspirations like 20 years ago. So for his standpoint, I mean, this is a really neat moment for him as well to have this opportunity to play for your favorite team growing up. Not many people get to do that. And the fact that we get to see that, I don't know, maybe it would lead to a little bit of extra. I know he already said at the combine he chose football over baseball because that's where his heart is. And obviously his passion was the Chicago Bears growing up. So I like how those two kind of align. His heart is in football. His passion was for the Bears. And now that he's here, maybe the combination and his hunger to succeed would lead to him to maybe exceeding some of our, at least, initial impressions and expectations. Again, maybe not in year one, but as a long-term projection for a Cole Komet. Any other concerns or worries when it comes to Cole?
I think all these tight ends realistically need to work on their blocking. So I just want to see what's the upside? Like, what's the ceiling for a Cole Komet? Like I said, I don't think he can reach to like a Travis Kelce kind of standard. And there's a lot of tight ends that never do. So that wouldn't be like the biggest disappointment, but what is his ceiling? Like that, when I made the draft or the prospect comparison to a Kyle Rudolph, it's good, right? I think we would take a Kyle Rudolph on this team, but I don't know. I just look at this pick just needing something more. That's just how we were looking at it, what was available for the Bears at 43. But if you can get something consistent, I know the Bears will take it. I know fans will, you know, like that as well. And the Bears did need a tight end that they can rely on. And if he could be a guy that's, you know, 6 years down the road, like he's consistent, producing, can use his big body in the red zone, which is a huge issue from everybody else outside of Allen Robinson, that's great. You'll take that, and we'll eat our words. But just want to know, what is Cole Komet's ceiling? I just don't think it's that high.
So you don't think it's as high as Rudolph or Eifert?
I think it's Rudolph would be the highest, but I just want something more, Will. I want something more than a Rudolph. That's why I thought like a Bryson Hopkins, even like an Adam Trautman, he's a very similar size to a Cole Komet, but I think there's a higher ceiling on that guy as opposed to a Cole Komet.
What if they draft another and we have 11 tight ends on this roster?
I'm out. You see me go through the door over there and adios.
All right. So obviously it's a little tough to project. Do you have like a worst case scenario? I don't think his worst case is an Adam Shaheen by any means. Do you have any like worst case scenario? Is he just going to be like, you know, an average top 16 type of tight end in his league when it's all said and done? Is that worst case, or is it maybe even lower than that? Like just like a top 20, top 25 type guy?
That for me, I think if he is like a top 20 kind of guy, that's you always say second round draft pick. Then, I mean, there's a lot of tight ends that can come in and be that kind of guy. You're hoping that he could be more than that. You really are at this stage in the draft, the need, and you know, he's going to get opportunities. You absolutely know that in Matt Nagy's offense, he's going to get a lot of opportunities. And if he can only be a top 20 guy in the league, then that's an issue. That means he's not separating from the safeties that are guarding him. That means he's not utilizing his body well. There's a lot of things that can go into that and not maybe reaching that upside. But yeah, if he's top 20 and that's all ever becomes, then you can look at this just another pick. A guy that, you know, had obviously great dreams to be a Bear, and that's good for him. But you want to see a return on the football field, produce points, produce, you know, good things for the Bears organization. But top 20, you need to see more than that from a Cole Komet.
You want to go ahead and put some grades in? I'm looking up on my screen over here. It looks like pick number 47 is in. So it is about time to start to reset and recalibrate to get ready for pick 50. So as it stands right now, again, I know that the most accurate draft grades are the ones that you make it instantly on the fly. It doesn't take a few years or anything, Nick, to really properly assess any draft pick. I mean, you're going to know right now. And I hope people listening can feel the sarcasm coming through my voice. I know that grading it doesn't really mean much now, but it's something I've been doing for the past 5 years on the podcast, and I'll continue with it. I will give this one a C, just general. I think we all know tight end is a big position of need, but I believe that Cole Kmet was a reach here. I know that there were rumors, at least I believe there were rumors. It's hard to decipher nowadays on social media. The teams were looking up to perhaps trade for him, or at least inquiring around this time in the draft to go ahead and select him. So I guess if you feel like he would be gone at 50, you make this pick. And on top of that, we've already mentioned he could be a solid guy for years to come. And I think at the end of the day, that's not a terrible thing, even though we're all hoping for something a little bit more exciting. This pick doesn't piss me off in any means, but it doesn't really have me jumping out of my seat either. I'm somewhere just in the middle, a little underwhelmed. So I think C is a very appropriate one for me. How about you?
You know what, Alex? I'll go with the C minus, just a little bit under you there, Will. Like you said, if he ends up being just a good player, you know, a consistent guy, you'll live with that, right? But I'm obviously not jumping for joy for a Cole Kmet. Everyone was, you know, talking, like a bunch of media guys were talking. This is a weak tight end draft class. So, but yet the Bears decided, let's draft the first one with our first pick. And there's so many things wrong with this offense that there's still a Z receiver that they don't have, a big playmaker that I think if you would have gotten a KJ Hamler, who I just saw went to the Denver Broncos at 46, I was like, that's the guy that you possibly could have taken, a big play guy. But yeah, C minus for me. I just thought there were better players that fit the Bears' needs. That wasn't a stretch. It wasn't, you know, you're reaching for a guy. This is going to be immediate impact, big plays, whether it was offense or defense. But I just thought there was better talent that the Bears maybe could have even waited to 50 to take him. But yeah, so C minus for me. That's where I'm at with Cole Kmet. And I hope it just proves me wrong, like completely. Because obviously what we've been talking about,
that's what we want,
hasn't been. Yeah, it hasn't been the best because, again, we just had other opinions on where they should have gone, but we're hoping the best for Cole Kmet. We do not wish Cole Kmet a bad career. Never are we saying that. We just, you know, maybe wanted to go elsewhere.
Maybe we could have selected him if we traded down a little bit later, and we may have been the attitude would have been completely shifted right now. So in just a minute, Nick, I'm going to catch you up on some players that have been off the board. I'll go ahead, and the screen's about to kind of retick, and as I'm streaming, sometimes it's hard to kind of refresh some website pages, so I'll wait here for actually ESPN to do this. But just to spoiler alert you, I saw that Hamler is gone.
Yeah, that one hurt. Man, he went to Denver. I'm trying to think, did Vic Fangio get another? Is this the second wide receiver that Vic Fangio got? I want to say he got a receiver. Yes,
they got one last night as well.
Yeah, they are stocking up a wide receiver. Vic Fangio is like, I got the defense. Now give me some offensive weapons. I'm going to go out there with Drew Lock and light it up. So I like it for Vic Fangio over there.
Yes. All right. So, of course, at 43, the Chicago Bears selected Cole Kmet. If you don't know that by now, I mean, maybe you just tuned in, but welcome to the club. The Browns took Delpit, so the safety out of LSU. After the fact, the Buccaneers took Antoine Winfield out of Minnesota. Broncos, of course, KJ Hamler, the wide receiver out of Penn State. At pick number 47, which the pick is officially in, but we're waiting for Roger Goodell. So is there anything that has changed in your eyes now? Where would you go if you're drafting tight end? Do you go offensive line? Do you go back to that secondary where we're all kind of envisioning with that 43rd pick? Really curious to how you would kind of recalibrate now that we know it's tight end first. How do you finish up this second round? Of course, I think we're both hoping for a trade back here, but if no one's calling, then there's really no opportunity to do so.
Yeah, so this is interesting because I think you could still get some quality offensive linemen at this point, whether you wanted to go tackle or at the guard position. Like I said, Lloyd Cushenberry is a guy that I really like. I don't even know where the Bears would envision him playing because he is a center right now. Maybe you plug him into right guard. Maybe you fluctuate that offensive line to see what works best, but that could be definitely an option.
Don't move Cody White here again, please.
Please. He's accustomed to moving with his Bears career, being very flexible. Kudos to Cody Whitehair. But there's obviously still like a Jeremy Chinn still on the board. Do you take him at 50? Obviously, he's a guy that I think would just fit the Ryan Pace mold of the past, right? Just physical upside, has all the intangibles, a small school guy. It kind of screams like a little bit like an Adam Shaheen in a way, you know, physical and small school. But that could be an option. And I have to check what receivers are still available because I don't even know if it's worth it at this point. Just because
Peoples Jones?
Oh, no. God, no. Sorry.
Brian Edwards?
Yeah, I think we're really reaching at this point then for the second round at wide receiver. So I'd stay away from that. And yeah, so I think it would be either offensive lineman or maybe that safety position, or we can go get a quarterback.
I knew that was coming up next. I'm just looking here. Just had a few big boards and a name that's popped up a couple times down the way. But to be honest, Cole Kmet was down the way as well. So it really doesn't mean much. Antonio Gibson, the running back wide receiver out of Memphis. I know that would be an interesting one if they had enough conviction and they were fired up about that pick to go ahead and make it. I know that's someone that you and I've been, we've talked about in passing. We mentioned him on the Combine podcast. That's what we do. We do a podcast, Nick, almost called the Combine Press Conferences. But you know, of course, we don't really know where the Bears are going to go here. But if they went that route, I wouldn't be overly shocked. You get a guy who can play multiple roles in his offense. He has a lot of speed to him as well. Would that be a mistake if they, I mean, that may be a slight reach here, but if no one's giving him an offer that they think is worthwhile to trade down and they wanted another playmaker on offense, would that be someone you would accept?
Not at this point. I think just right now at 50, I don't think that's going to be the option for the Bears. I think they already made a reach for Cole Kmet. You see it again with the 50th pick. It's like, yes, Ryan Pace obviously would love these guys if, you know, hypothetically they would do that. But man, you are just really reaching. And Ryan Pace, looking at his history, he's missed. He's missed on a lot of these guys where you project, you know, this high upside. So for me, I don't think that would be the route to go. I think someone in the chat put Denzel Mims as a guy. That may be a guy at 50 that very versatile. He lines up on the outside, lines up on the inside. Big playmaking guy, can make a lot of plays within the middle of the field. That could be an option if the Bears wanted to go that route. I don't think I'd be – or it would be a good pick, I think. It's a playmaker that they need at the Z or zebra position right now because they just don't have the depth. So – I'm back on the wide receiver trade. Just somebody, because that offense was so bad last season, Will. I think the defense is fine. They upgraded just in the offseason with free agency. It's the offense that needs the most help. It's the offense. If the Bears can get a competent, even middle-of-the-road offense, they probably win 10 games, probably win 11 games, a double-digit win team. They're not a bad team. They just need some weapons and a competent quarterback to run their system. They can be competitive.
Well, the Bears are officially back on the clock as I see that Pittsburgh's pick is in. So as we sit here, you talked about playmakers. We've mentioned this in passing, and both of us in our mock drafts, I think we had running backs as our very last pick, but there are you have J.K. Dobbins. He's still available. Cam Akers as well. Not saying the Bears should draft a running back, but you're talking playmakers. And as of right now, it seems like the running backs are up higher on the board than a wide receiver. How big of a mistake would that be?
Yeah, if the Bears draft a running back here, I'm still going head to that door. There's a couple of moves the Bears could do right now. I'm heading out that door.
I
think, you know what, maybe cornerback might be an option here. I don't think, has Trevon Diggs from Alabama been taken? I don't believe so. I think I'm seeing, if this is still updated accurately from ESPN, he's still on the board.
Yeah. I still think Josh Jones is available. I know this, he's not a playmaker, but if you're looking at tackle, he's still available.
Yeah, so that could definitely be an option as well. And look, I know what I said about Jalen Johnson on Twitter, and I completely forgot, Will, that you had him in the mock, but He does have good film. Just can he stay healthy is the biggest thing, biggest concern for me. But he would fit as a press corner, just being able to get into a receiver's body, just shadowing him, mirroring him well down the field. just health concerns for Utah's Jalen Johnson have been the big red flag for me, but he can ball. He absolutely can. So that could be an option as well, just to solidify that corner spot opposite of Kyle Fuller. So I'm really curious to see what the Bears are thinking with pick 50, if they're staying here.
If they're staying here, there's a lot of players here at 50 that, I mean, you and I were both mentioning here with pick 43. So if they stay and they don't reach, we should be very excited about this pick coming up, although that means our night would be over and we would have to throw in a towel and wait until tomorrow afternoon until the Bears are the back on the clock. The pick is in, so this is it?
This is it. Well, this is, I'm scared.
Me too. So leave it to the Bears to do everything that we thought they shouldn't do, right? Don't reach for a tight end early. Trade back. So we're 0-2. So one question as we're waiting, and I think we're speculating here enough on who 50 will be, and we'll see it here in just a moment. And apparently at this rate, you're going to find out before me, which is okay. But Ryan Pace has always been best player available. Now with Cole Kmet, I forgot to ask this. Did he kind of stray from his word a little bit? Or because I think he's going to say that he was the top guy on their board, but there's just no way, right?
No way, and you're right, Will. You got the pick. Let's just say that for your 50th pick, it's going to be Utah's Jalen Johnson. So congrats on that one.
Hey, hell yeah. Right. It worked out very well last time when I got Roquan Smith right. So I'm very excited about Jalen Johnson here at cornerback, which to me, as I said in my mock draft, Johnson's someone who I believe instantly you take that trio battle that they're currently having at cornerback with Roberson, Tolliver, as well as Burns, and you can throw it out the window because Jalen Johnson's going to be your week one starter opposite of Kyle Fuller. So to me, they got a guy who is a starter on defense. So at least here in the second round, even though Kmet, who I said should be at least the inline starting tight end with Jimmy Graham, they're going to get a guy in Johnson who is going to be a starter. And at the end of the day, if you're going to pick someone here in the second round where we are, you better find someone who can contribute right out of the gate. And I think they just done so. What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on just being an instant starter. He's going to be the guy that it's not going to be a Kevin Tolliver, Artie Burns, Trey Roberson battle. Jalen Johnson, he's a good cornerback. The only thing that's ever been the question mark with him is those shoulder injuries that he's sustained just throughout his career. He's had a bunch of shoulder surgeries. I'm trying to pull up my tweet that's probably going to be on Old Takes Exposed. But so he had a torn labrum in 2016, surgery in 2017, and surgery right after the combine. So the Bears obviously have done their homework, know that they feel confident. They feel confident that he can hold up from these injuries and be a guy that they can rely on, count on. Because we were talking about this on previous podcasts, Will, that if you're going to either value a safety or a cornerback, I think we both agree that cornerback would be the better pick.
Right.
Just because when you look at everything, most likely whatever team the Bears are going to face, they're going to target that guy that's not Kyle Fuller. You want the best available player to do that. Jalen Johnson now gives you a chance to win those quarterbacks target that him, there's an opportunity for plays to happen still because Jalen Johnson is a good cover man corner. Like I said, knows how to shadow his receivers, can stay with them at their hips. Good player. Just the injuries are the thing that I have a concern with, but obviously the Bears are fine with them.
I mean, I'm fine with him. We talked about this offline too, right? Ryan Pace was mentioning the fact that they want people and their big emphasis right now is football intelligence. And I was mentioning too that when you're watching Johnson play, you can just tell that he really does have that high football IQ. He did have all academic honors as well in his time there at Utah as well. So for me, having someone who is a big, strong press corner with that mixture of, oh, I'm getting to watch his reaction here on ESPN. He looks not phased, and that's exactly what he's like. All right, I'm ready to play. That's a very exciting out of Johnson as well. But getting back to the point here, Nick, I really think that this is going to be a strong pick. I think he's going to be a starting cornerback on this defense for years to come. He's super savvy at the line of scrimmage. He's really a press guy. And that is someone who I think really makes sense, right? You have Kyle Fuller, who's more that off-ball cornerback. He can close the gap. And on the other side, you just have someone that can lock it down in press fashion. And that's what really gets me excited about Johnson. And I understand your concerns about his shoulder and that labrum, because it has a couple of surgeries on it. It's been repaired, but those are injuries that they don't really take away from your athletic ability. I've had that surgery before, and I'm not an athlete by any means. I'm fully recovered, and I'm not playing a high impact contact sport at the professional level. I'll give you that one. But it is one where if he maybe had a couple like arthroscopic surgeries, but now they dug in there and really fix it up. I'm sure of the history here, but there are different ways to fix it. And if he's getting here in the NFL, you probably get it in a way where it's going to be a long-term suitable surgery to lead him to success. So it's not really an issue for me. It's more of a nuisance, because even if it popped out, say, I'm not even going to put a week, I'm not even going to say it's going to happen, but just say it did, that someone that you can put in a harness like an Anthony Miller and continue to play. It's an injury you can play through. It's nothing that would just take him off the sideline and be unavailable. So to me, it's not a huge red flag, and obviously it wasn't a big deal to the Bears as well, because they were able to take them here at pick number 50.
Yeah, I just wonder. Obviously, they know about the shoulder injuries with like Anthony Miller. So I think, I would hope at this point the Bears know how to go about it. You know, just how to deal with it in the right way, so you're preventing these injuries from actually happening at the highest level now. I think whenever players come in with like injury history, injury concerns, there's no way, I don't think you should expect for them to get better. Like, you're playing you're playing more games, or you're now playing against tougher competition. You shouldn't expect it to get better, but you can maybe now look for different ways to prevent them from happening, consistently happening. So hopefully the Bears obviously have a game plan set for a Jalen Johnson, so we don't see the same thing happen throughout his start of his career, like an Anthony Miller, even though we all know Anthony Miller could be a very good player, just injuries have kind of slowed him down a bit. But remember what I said earlier, Will, with Jalen Johnson. He said the guy that he's looking forward most to covering in the NFL is a Davante Adams. He was on NFL Total Access, I think like 3 days ago, and he was asked, who are you looking forward to most to guard? He's like, Davante Adams. I love how he runs routes, how he's able to get open, just be a guy that it would be a challenge. But he's like, you tweeted back responding, like, he's confident, he's up for the challenge. And you want that out of your second cornerback, because we know Kyle Fuller's always up for the challenge. You get a guy like a rookie having to guard Davante Adams one-on-one, maybe don't like that matchup, but the guy's up for it. And that's what you want to see from these guys. And obviously he's talking the talk. You got to see him walk the walk come the season. But I thought that was an interesting quote from him. Just watched it earlier today.
Absolutely. And what I really like about Johnson, too, just getting back into some of my notes from my mock draft, and just wanted to present them here as well for those that may have missed it. He's just a very physical corner, especially at the line of scrimmage. And I think he's going to really fit in on this defense. He's someone that is very aggressive. And Nick, I was telling you this on that episode, right, where he's someone that he knows how to bait quarterbacks into making some throws. He keeps his eyes maybe sometimes too much on the thrower, on the passer. But these are some things that I can live with Eddie Jackson, you know, being behind him. I would take a cornerback that likes to play aggressive, that likes to take chances, that likes to go and play, get after that football. Last year, 11 pass breakups, six interceptions. I think that maybe it was, go back to the notes. Yeah, six interceptions in the past 2 years with 11 pass breakups last year, just to make sure I'm clarified on that one as well. So he's someone who's strong. He's tough. He's sticky, which is that's a phrase that we heard John Fox say years ago. But it is a trait that you want to see in a cornerback. You want to see him be able to mirror and match receivers coming up in that press fashion. He doesn't give up a lot of ground in that regard as well. And I just love how he's not afraid to get up in the face of wide receivers, and is really fluid with his movements as well, and able to stay with the receiver throughout, you know, all levels of their route tree. So he's someone who I think is a very solid football player that has a lot of upside as well.
Finally, a bed that senses snoring and automatically responds. Meet the Ergo Smart Base from Tempur-Pedic, our first system that detects snoring, then automatically adjusts by raising the bed. Get your best sleep all night, every night. For a limited time, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets and experience the deep, undisturbed sleep of Tempur-Pedic. Get full offer details at Tempur-Pedic.com.
Well, I think his NFL comparison, looking here, is Vontae Davis, which is a very interesting one, too. Now, for you, Nick, I am curious, is there anything about, I know you've mentioned a couple of concerns, but what about Johnson gets you excited? Is there anything that jumps out to you that makes you feel like you understand why they made this pick, or gets you excited about having Johnson being a part of this defense?
Yeah, I think it's just his ability to effectively jam receivers on the line of scrimmage and then just mirror them throughout the entirety of their route. You need that kind of guy that's not going to be just lose his man downfield as the route kind of develops, as the play kind of extends over time. Jalen Johnson's a guy that will stick with his guy. And that's what you really, really like out of a guy like him. So I think, really, I think when you look at just all his tape at Utah, he was just a guy that really worked well with the other players around him, because they have a bunch of players that are most likely going to be drafted just within maybe the next couple of picks or down the road. So you could see him just working well with the guys that they do have in this secondary currently. So I think that's obviously upside, but I think just his ability to stick with receivers is just going to be such an asset to this Bears defense. Because look, Prince played, I think he played good football for his first season here, and then it kind of dipped off. It did. But now if you can get somebody that can just make a quarterback hang on to the football for a second longer, Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack, that could be devastating for opposing offenses. So I think looking at this Bears defense and you're an opposing offense, you're not liking your chances. You really aren't, because
you're right.
Go ahead.
You just hit it, right? If you have Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack, and don't forget Akeem Hicks, breathing down on quarterbacks, you can't really look to Kyle Fuller too much. You already know that that's not going to lead to great results. If you have a guy like Jalen Johnson who excels in press, by the time the quarterback has pressure on him, the receiver's not going to be able to get in and out of his break. Not with Johnson. He's not going to be able to get any separation with a guy who can play press coverage like this. So there's not going to be many outlets for quarterbacks when the pressure is on with a guy like Jalen Johnson now on the opposite end of this defense, opposite of Kyle Fuller. That's what gets me excited, because quarterbacks, you know, in the past, they went to Fuller's way. And then over the last two seasons, they found out they can get more success throwing towards a Prince Mukamara. And of course, last year, the pressure on quarterbacks wasn't to the rate that we wanted. That's why Robert Quinn's here. But now with that getting back to that 2018 form, at least that's the hope, with a guy like Johnson, that's going to just be another, you know, a guy that says no, like there's like, you know, you shall not pass. You literally shall not pass when you're looking to my side. So, and then on top of that, what you look to the middle of the field. Yeah. Roquan Smith, you have Eddie Jackson. This gets scary, Nick. This really gets me excited.
Yeah, no, this is it made a strength of theirs even stronger on the defensive side of the football. And if you have an opportunity to do that in the draft, you take it. And like I said, Jalen Johnson, I think he's going to be a great fit. I know Vic Fangio would have loved to have him, just a big, tall, physical corner. But Chuck Pagano is going to, you know, really like this pick, just what he's able to do. Looking at 2019 stats, those 13 passes defended well, that shows me that, one, he's just around the football. He's maybe either just a second late, but he is there disrupting the pass, not allowing the receiver to make a play, but he's there. And maybe it's just like a quick little twitch that a second earlier, maybe that's a pick. So he's around the football, like we've been talking about, could stay attached to receivers. You will take that. And he's a guy that can make an impact, because you know he's going to get thrown at, targeted throughout the season. And if you have two quality guys at your cornerback spots and two premier edge rushers, that, like we've just been talking about, causes problems for offenses. You want to take away the quick slants. Jalen Johnson can do that. He's very good at that. And if you could just tag that along the defense that they already have, you're hoping it could be better than the 2018 version, which is a very high standard. But I think the Bears, when you look at what they have, they're probably better.
I think they are. I really do. I mean, what he had Roberson, Burns, and of course Tolliver. But you bring in a guy like this who's arguably first round talent, and I think without those shoulder concerns, he may have gone in that first round. I don't think it's arguably better. I think it is better, of course. And looking here too, he had 65 passes thrown his way last year in Utah, and he allowed only catches on 29 of those. So less than 50% completion rate when targeted last year, which of course is a big reason why the Bears took him as well. And I talked about he has those football smarts. He's very football savvy. I was looking here at a story where he actually picked off Jacob Eason, and he was mentioning in a post-game interview that he was able to recognize the formation, and he knew what route was coming his way, and he was able to make that break in the ball because he was able to recognize that pre-snap. And to me,
going back to one of my very first points here with the 50th pick of finding someone with those high football IQ, that's just a perfect illustration of what kind of football IQ Johnson has and how that can even help him elevate his game and kind of help him tap into that already natural aggressive nature.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it's going to be all about health. I just want to read what Dane Brugler kind of had for, like, he has a little summary, one sentence summary about every single player. This is what he wrote in his Beast article. If you haven't read it, good time now with all these picks still coming in. Said overall, Johnson needs to be a better finisher and continue his instinctual development, but he has the athletic traits to ride receivers up and down the field, and his competitive mentality will be an immediate fit in a pro locker room, projecting as an NFL starter. All the things we kind of been talking about, Will, and I think if Jalen Johnson can work on being just a better tackler, I think a lot of these corners, that's like the biggest knock on a lot of these secondary players, really, just kind of thinking about all the tape. It's, yeah, you could be a better tackler, but you're being paid big bucks to stop the receivers and make the tackle if they catch it right there. But yeah, if Jalen Johnson can just elevate what he's already good at and just keep expanding on that, and Chuck Pagano's, you know, defense, again, it's going to look like a great pick, especially if he can stay on the field.
That's going to be one of the bigger questions and concerns when it comes to Johnson. I believe that, of course, if the injury history, which always is a concern, but if he can get past that, this should be a home run pick for Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears. And, you know, there's some other pros here with him about his confidence. He plays with extremely high confidence. And I love the combination of confidence, physicality, and aggressiveness. It's really a great combination to have out of your cornerback. And he's someone where, say he gets burned on one play, he doesn't get down on himself. He kind of, you know, he won't check out. He's someone who's always next snap mentality, you know, forgetting what happened and focusing on the next snap and seeing what you can do out of that one. So for me, he is someone who I, of course, had in my mock draft that pick 50. Do you have any other things on him that you wanted to mention? Do you have potentially, how about best case, worst case?
Before we get to the best case, worst case, I just kind of, sure, just a little bit more background on Jalen Johnson here. Both his parents, they did go to Fresno State, and then also his brother, cornerback, Fresno State, father was a cornerback at Fresno State. It would be really interesting to ask him. Well, maybe he didn't get offers to go to Fresno State, but it seems like there's a long family lineage of going to Fresno State, either, you know, playing there or just attending the university. But interesting there. Worst case, best case, obviously best case scenario, he is just a lockdown, shutdown corner that you can rely on, especially on those maybe third down situations where you know the offense needs to get a big play to maybe just extend the drive or wherever they're at. You can count on Jalen Johnson to be there to, one, lock up a receiver like a Davante Adams or whoever it may be on the outside. And then worst case, you see those injuries pop up. Well, if this is a case where he is not able to stay on the field, you are now having to go to relying on a Kevin Tolliver, a Trey Roberson, or already Burns. So we see the immediate drop off. Obviously those guys, or Kevin Tolliver's had some reps in the NFL, and so has Artie Burns being a former first round draft pick, but they're unproven guys. That's why the Bears made this pick to go get Jalen Johnson, because they weren't comfortable with what they originally had. So worst case scenario, though, those injuries rear their ugly head. He's not able to stay on the field, and now you're kind of waiting to see if Jalen Johnson will ever be consistent, be someone that you can rely on. It's the exact opposite of the best case scenario. So that's what I would think would be best case, worst case scenario for Jalen Johnson.
I like it. I like it a lot. I just saw from our draft guy, Stephen Letizia, another really interesting stat that Johnson only gave up 4 receptions over 10 yards all season on 31 targets. So you ain't going to pass deep on him. And that, of course, if you get someone like that where you don't have to worry too much about, you know, deep threats or guys taking off on his side, I mean, that just makes Eddie Jackson's life easier. And once you make other guys' life and jobs a little bit more simpler, I mean, that just allows everyone just to be a little bit more focused, be a little bit more, not relaxed in a bad way, but relaxed in a good way. And the trust factor, I think, would be there, which should loom large for this Bears defense as well. So at the end of the day, Nick, I think the Bears offense, I mean, it got better, even though it's a tight end where it was a reach, but It seems like we're pretty excited, as long as Johnson can stay healthy, that this could be a long-term answer at the cornerback position for the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. Defense, no doubt, got better. Offense got better. Both the picks make both sides of the football better. We were just looking for a little bit more at 43. And we don't know with Ryan Pace. There could be someone still left on this board when we probably go offline and we're going to see something. We'll be immediately up here again. But like you said, the Bears got better on both sides of the football. That's what you kind of wanted to see with these picks. Maybe it wasn't to the extent that we were looking for. A lot of fans were, especially with the first pick with Cole Kmet. But they got better. You will take that going into the 2020 season because we know this team is still competitive. They just needed their offense to really substantially get better. But just be average and they'll be a better football team. So I think that Cole Kmet, it helps. It helps to get to that at least average area where you're hoping the Bears can at least, that could be like their floor. Just average, but you're hoping for more, obviously.
For sure. Now, I know we gave C and C minus for our first pick of the draft. Now, when we're grading here at pick 50, I think it would be fair to keep in mind an opportunity of a trade down, but I wouldn't say we should be too harsh because we don't know what, if, or any offers did come the Bears' way, even though everyone here was hoping, expecting, and just kind of praying for a trade back to recoup some picks, but obviously, the Bears didn't go that route. I think you should put that one in there somewhere, but don't let it be the end-all, be-all. So I want you to go first. Obviously, I'm going to have a high grade because I had them going at pick 43 in my last mock draft, and I know you have some concerns. So I'm curious where you would kind of peg this.
Yeah, like Jalen Johnson's a very good football player. I'm just hoping that he can stay healthy, and that just the history and the injury of histories are there. But when you look at the tape, great player. So I'm going to give it a B, a solid B for the pick. I think it's an immediate upgrade of what they currently have. Bunch of unproven cornerbacks. You have Jalen Johnson, who proved that he could be a guy, and he's been doing it consistently. He's not like a Cole Kmet that had one season. He's actually been doing it for the past couple of seasons, just being able to get his hand on the football, getting interceptions, being a playmaker for Utah. So a B, I think, is a good grade for what he definitely brings, and I hope that he even exceeds that. Just my biggest concern, and it's still valid, I think, can he stay healthy with all those shoulder injuries that he sustained already throughout his career? But he's a great football player. I'll give him a B.
I think a B coming from you is pretty high, and it makes a lot of sense. For me, I mean, Nick, I'm not going to lie. It's going to be an A. I had him going at 43. You and I already agreed that if they're going to go secondary in round two, you better go cornerback and then find your safety later on. So they're following that pattern that we already laid out. Johnson was a guy, again, some other guys did fall that would have been interesting as well. But Johnson was the guy that I targeted. I just love the physicality. I love that he's a press guy because, again, you don't need two Kyle Fullers. You need Kyle Fuller and someone else that excels in a different facet of his game to keep offenses A on their toes, and of course on each side of the field you're going to be able to lock down opponents in just some different circumstances, which to me is going to be a big benefit as well. But he's smart, he's athletic, he's physical, he's aggressive, he's confident. These are all things that you want in a corner, and of course he's someone too, at his time at Utah he got better every year. And so you look at that trajectory, and you like the upside, and you like where his trend is going. The arrow for Johnson has been pointing up, and as long as it continues that way, he should turn into a real fine cornerback here. And for me, I mean, really, that's best case scenario, because Roberson was probably not going to be a long-term answer. Tolliver, probably not as well. And Artie Burns obviously already flamed out in Pittsburgh. Of course, he was a first-round talent as well. Don't know how he can turn around his career. It's always possible. But when you bring in a guy that can be a long-term answer at a position where Kyle Fuller is a veteran, of course, he has a decent shelf life left, this just really makes it a non-issue for a while. We don't have to worry about cornerback. We can focus elsewhere. This defense is relatively set for the most part. We'll see how they kind of can continue to beef it up if they have more plans for that. But no, Nick, this has to be, I mean, for me, it's an A. And of course, for me to, like I said, the last time I had a pick right, it was Roquan Smith. And I think we're all very glad that he's on this team as well.
Yeah, you've been on a roll, Will. And we were talking about the Roquan Smith pick. I'm like, Will got it right. Feeling a little envious towards you again because you got another pick right. But it's a good football player. So I can't complain with who you've been projecting, because like Roquan Smith, like you said, no one's going to complain about him and what he can do for the Bears defense. Another defensive pick with Jalen Johnson. Maybe I just get offensive guys. I only got David Montgomery, and we'll see.
You got the position right in 2017.
Yeah, you got the position right.
And actually, I'll say this. You had the right quarterback. The Bears got the wrong one.
They should have just listened. Bullard. Bullard, I think I had in one of them way back, but that didn't.
That's a throwback.
That is a throwback. But yeah, they got better. That's what you asked for. Hopefully, I guess we'll see if we come back on later today. What do you think it will? You think we're going to be back on a little bit later?
I think it's rum and coke time after this podcast. if God forbid I have to come on after one of those, fine. But we're going to be sitting here at the desks just in case the Bears trade into, I'm not going to say the second round because I highly doubt they're going to trade into the back end of this. I highly doubt they're going to trade into the third round as well. But I'm not going to say anything's impossible, and we like to be prepared. We like to be on hand here just in case, because, of course, every time the Bears do go live, we hop on our stream as well. And, of course, if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, this is literally an initial reaction, because we were here from the Bears going on to pick, or going on the clock at pick 43 all the way through the 50th pick. So this was a fun hour or so. I don't even know how long it's been, but it feels like an hour, and I feel like my time of podcasts are usually pretty good. Just want to let everyone know before we kind of sign off, Nick, of course, we're only 30 reviews away on Apple Podcasts for giving away a free Chicago Bears jersey, because every time we reach a century mark, we go, we pick a random listener, and we get to send them a free Chicago Bears jersey. The last one is the Cleo Mack one, and what I love is we allow you, if you ended up being selected, you get to choose your jersey, you get to choose the size. It's nothing that I have on hand here. We purchased it for you straight from the Chicago Bears store, and it's just our way of showing our appreciation for you, A, being a fan of our podcast, B, taking the time to listen to us talk Chicago Bears football, because honestly, we'd just be two guys behind a microphone if it were not for you. So if you haven't yet, I don't care if you're listening here on Facebook, Periscope, if you're on YouTube as well, or the podcast, head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. Only 30 away, and as soon as we reach, that would be number 600, we will send out another free Chicago Bears jersey. Of course, that is our goal, and we love if you can help us achieve our goal so we can, A, quit yapping about it and move on to some more important things, and B, it would be just great. It's always great to reach goals, right?
Yeah, always great to reach goals, always great to set more goals as we continue breaking the old ones that we set. So, it's always great, and hopefully we can break another one here soon.
Absolutely, Nick. Any final thoughts before we head off? Cole Kmet is a Chicago Bear. Jalen Johnson is a Chicago Bear. Any last words of wisdom before we sign off?
I mean, look, the Bears got better, and I can't be too harsh on them for that. We'll see what happens with these later round draft picks. This is where Ryan Pace can really get creative. This is where he actually has a hit rate, where it's later in the draft where he can kind of maybe find a steal later on. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Ryan Pace, this Bears staff, can do. But the Bears got better. Now we'll go into deep diving into these picks, see what we can find, and hopefully have more content later on.
Absolutely. Nick, I want to thank you, of course, for being available here to hop on here live. I know if the Bears do not trade in tonight and we go tomorrow, we're going to have Steve Letizia, our draft guy, joining us for some of these picks. Perhaps Will Ingles as well. But maybe a full house. We'll see exactly how this all shakes out. But I'm always excited. Draft weekend, of course, is one of my favorite times. I'm sure you as well. Times of the year. So until the next time the Bears are on the clock, it could be 5 minutes from now. It could be tomorrow. No matter when it is, we'll be here to talk about who the Bears are selecting and, of course, tell you a little bit more about the newest Chicago Bears. So I hope you appreciated this episode. We'll be back soon. But until next time, Bear down, Chicago. Bear down.
How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, Getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.